Hello and good morning. It's Karen Frost here, worship leader at Thatcham Methodist Church and pastoral development worker working in ministry among older people. I'm privileged to lead us in worship at home this morning for the 24th of October 2021. And it's lovely to be able to share worship with you in your home. Today is Bible Sunday, when we think of and thank God for his word written in the Bible and for the work of the Bible societies throughout the world. I'll be using some of the resources available from the Bible Society as we go through this service. You may wish to open your Bible to Isaiah chapter 5 verse 1, as today's reading will be included with the sermon rather than being read separately. So that's Isaiah chapter 5. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And so we sing our first hymn from Singing the Faith, number 57. Let all the world in every corner sing, my God and King. Let us pray. All-seeing God, you are so far beyond our understanding, yet you want to meet with us. You call us into your presence, as the crowd called a blind man to come to Jesus. We come to you now, mighty Lord, expectantly, ready to worship and learn from you. May we have eyes open to see you, and hearts willing to be seen by you. Amen. And now we come to a time of confession. Heavenly Father and Mother, time and again we get things wrong. In a moment of quiet, let us say sorry to God for those things. Know that your sins are forgiven through Jesus Christ our Saviour, and rejoice in his goodness and grace. Amen. Thanks be to God. Let me share a story with you from the Bible Society working in the Middle East. Last year, the Bible Society of Lebanon asked for prayer after the chemical blast in the capital Beirut that killed more than 200 people and left 7,500 injured. This year, God answered those prayers. Bible worker Camille Safar told us this: thanks to all the prayers and support received, we were able to repair the Bible Society Centre and continue with our ministry. Free scriptures were distributed to people affected by the explosion to help them gain hope again. Almost 9,000 Bibles or scripture portions were distributed free or highly subsidised to families whose homes were damaged in the blast. Thousands of Bibles were also reduced dramatically in price to make them more accessible to a population affected by rampant inflation and poverty. Camille said that shifting to online, that's on the computer, so an online ministry, during the pandemic enabled the Bible mission team in Lebanon to reach many more young people. He said they were thirsty to know more about Jesus and engage with the scriptures. He said that in the first quarter of 2020, before the pandemic took hold, 2,100 young people were reached online. Whereas in the first quarter of this year, it was almost 20 times the amount, with 40,000 young people engaging with the scriptures online. There is no doubt that in Lebanon, despite the poverty there, the seeds are being sown. And we pray. Thank you, God, for the amazing response of young people in Lebanon to hearing your word. Please let the seed sown in their hearts grow so that they will form a real relationship with Jesus. We pray that more people will turn to you in Lebanon. Amen. We sing our second hymn from Singing the Faith, number 156, 156, from the Breaking of the Dawn.
From the breaking of the dawn to the setting of the sun, I will stand on every promise of your word. Words of power strong to say that will never pass away. I will stand on every promise of your word. For your covenant is sure, and on this I am secure. I can stand on every promise of your word. Stumble and I sin, condemnation pressing in, I will stand on every promise of your word. You are faithful to forgive, that in freedom I might live. So I stand on every promise of your word. Guilt to innocence restore, you remember sins no more. So I'll stand on every promise of your word. Choice, I will listen for your voice, and I'll stand on every promise of your word. Through this dark and troubled land, you will guide me with your hand, as I stand on every promise of your word. You
I'm now going to hand over to Joss Edwards, who is a Bible communicator at the Bible Society, for our teaching this morning.
I want to bring a message today called The Invitation, Our Call. You might still remember the first moment you experienced something resembling normal this year. What was it? Perhaps it was the gym, jumping on the bus, a shopping trip in town, meeting a friend for coffee. Whatever it was, it was probably the feeling we're finally coming out of this. In the Bible passage we're going to be looking at today, we're going to find people coming out of something too. Isaiah 55 has a message for exiles returning home. See, Israel's exile had lasted 70 years. That was 70 years away from any kind of normality. And worst of all, 70 years away from the temple, from the presence of God itself. Now imagine how hard that would have been. So this is Isaiah writing with that day in mind when they would have finally been coming out of this. Theologian Andrew Ollerton says, exile is more than just an event in the Bible. It's a deep metaphor that captures a universal condition that we still experience today. So what is it like for you to come out of this exile? Perhaps you may be just relieved this is all done and ready to get on with things again. Or you might be feeling disappointed. You might be feeling hurt or full of fear. Perhaps you're feeling like giving up or already have. Perhaps you're done with God and you've been questioning, where has he been in the midst of all of this? See, Israel's experience of exile is in some ways like ours, but there's an invitation within the Bible that if we respond to it, it can change everything for us. Isaiah writes, here's the invitation. Come everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And he who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear that your soul may live, and I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. So to who and to what is the invitation here? Well, we see firstly, the invitation is to all those who are thirsty. They are those who thirst for more, for a life without the pains of emptiness, to those who thirst for love and keep looking in all the wrong places. It's to those who thirst for justice in their own lives and in the world. Furthermore, we see the invitation is to those who have no money. Now, in Hebrew thinking and culture, this could mean the poor, but it also means this idea of being the outsider. The invitation is for those who don't know when the next paycheck is arriving. And it's also for those who feel like they have nothing to offer, like they've been forgotten. And to those, Isaiah says, you don't have to qualify or measure up. This food, this banquet, it is for free. We see as well, the invitation is to all those who are laboring, to those who are working themselves to the ground without seeing anything in return. Is this your experience? If we're working in order to be a success, if we're working to matter, to be liked, to be enough, the invitation is finally to be able to stop. And so what is this invitation then? The invitation we see in verse 3 here is to life. See, to a people that would have known the Bible story, the words, I will make an everlasting covenant with you, they would have really hit home. Go back to the beginning of the Bible story, to the start of our human story, and we see God making a beautiful world, and in it, a beautiful garden, a place for people to live and work and worship him. There a river flowed, and that river brought life to all. But turn the page, And in Genesis 3, we see humans rebelling and turning from God. See, this is our human condition. There is a deep drought within us all, and it leaves us in the wilderness. But God, he doesn't give up. Throughout the Bible's story, we see how radically committed God is to his people, despite their ways. This is his covenant. This is his promise. And to a people coming out of exile, God says, I will bring you back home. I will make a way for you to come back to me. So don't stop believing, Israel. Remember, my covenant is everlasting. And then when Jesus, when he stepped into our world, he came bringing the invitation fully. Jesus is God coming good on his word. Jesus is God bringing this water of real life to the world again. And as he died on the cross, he said these words, I am thirsty. Now, of course, he said them because he was physically thirsty, but he also said them as a symbol of what the cross was achieving. He thirsted so we don't have to. He took on our death so we can have his life. He was exiled so we can come home. He was abandoned so that we can know love. And in John 7, verse 37, Jesus says, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. We see here the promise really is for anyone and for everyone. Now, some of us might find it hard to accept an invitation like that. We live in a world of flaky and fragile relationships, where it's easy for us to be cancelled if we do or say just one wrong thing, or get dropped if we don't make the grade. And because of that, we might think that God is the same. Will he cancel me? Will he drop me? Does he realise who he's really inviting? But God, no, he isn't like that. Look with me here. Verse 8, God says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. See, in these verses, God is saying, I'm not like the other people in your life. I cannot go back on my word. You simply don't have a category for my love. You have no way of measuring or even understanding the sheer depth and width and height of my love. Here is God saying, I do not cancel. I do not run out of love. And I do not regret the cross. A love like this means we can come out of our exile despite all the uncertainty we face and the fear that is around, we can come out secure in the knowledge that we are loved. We can stop trying to fill our emptiness, trying to prove ourselves and endlessly laboring. We can rest in the knowledge that we will always and forever be loved. This is the invitation. But God, as we see, he never invites in without then calling out. The very invitation we enter into becomes our call. This is a pattern we see through the whole Bible. God tells Abraham that he was going to bless him so that he could go and be a blessing to the nations. He reveals himself to Moses in the burning bush and then tells him to go to Pharaoh. And Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. So what is our call? Well, we see here in verse 5. Behold, you shall call a nation that you do not know, and a nation that did not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God and of the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. So what is our call? Well, we see here Israel's call was to go to the nations that did not know God and to call on them to turn and to run to him so that they too might live. We've been called to invite others to what we ourselves have been invited into. The invitation has become our call. And as we come out of our exile, this invitation, well, it has never been more needed or more relevant. Let's note quickly This was a people returning from exile. They were battered, they were bruised, filled with doubt and fear. Surely this was not a people fit for sending. But see, the call of God doesn't wait for those who are already strong, for those who are fearless and confident. No, it comes to us in our weakness. It comes to us in our doubts and in our fear. And if we're sensing that we're not ready, that we're not good enough for sending, well, God has us right where he wants us, because it is in that space he can give us his own courage. And where does that courage come from? It comes from his unfailing word. Verse 10, for as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. The promises of God are as sure and certain as the rain that falls from the sky. Just as the rain brings new life and growth, so will God's word. This is what God says to a fearful Israel coming out of exile, and he says the same to us today. My word, it will not fail. Therefore, take heart. This is a promise we need to hear, because fear plays such a massive role in our lives, does it not? You might have dreamed a dream. You might have felt a conviction that you could make a difference in your world, only to be prevented by fear itself. See, fear is natural, but courage is a choice. And the world needs a courageous church. Courage, it doesn't deny fear, but it says that fear isn't the only thing that's there. There is something greater. And that greater thing, well, it's the promises of God. It is his word that will not return empty. It is in the reality that God will do the work. Now imagine if we as the church refuse to let fear have the last word. Imagine what would happen in our communities and in our world if we really had this sort of faith in God's unfailing word. What if we really accepted and really were willing to take on the call of God in our lives? What difference would that make? In closing, Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. See, just like the unique touch ID that allows you into your phone, God has uniquely shaped and wired you, your experiences, your language, your background, to make you the key to touching and transforming other people's lives. As theologian Tim Keller says, there are some hands only you can hold. There are broken hearts only you can heal. There are some people only you can reach. So have you responded to the invitation? May God give you courage as the invitation you've entered into becomes your call.
Let us come before God in prayer. From Psalm 18, verse 28, for it is you who light my lamp. The Lord my God lightens my darkness. For it is you who light my lamp. The Lord my God lightens my darkness. So I'd like you to think, in what way can you walk more closely with God? Perhaps you can identify a key step that you can take. And you might want to pause the machine at this point to think about those things. So in what way can you walk more closely with God? And perhaps identify a key step that you can take. We pray, thank you that I have been reached by your word. Please create opportunities for the Bible to be shared with more people here in this country as well as around the world. Please inspire mission workers, church leaders, and individuals to communicate your promises to others. Amen. And so another voice that we think about from Matthew 11, verse 28. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. So I invite you to think about people and situations in our world that need our prayers today. And again, you might want to stop the speaker while you think about those things. We pray, Lord, I offer to you all those who need your loving touch in their lives today. May they know your healing, your love, your protection, safety, and peace. Give them assurance that all will be well. Amen. And we pray the prayer that Jesus gave to us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We sing our closing hymn today from Singing the Faith, number 470. 470. Lord, for the years your love has kept and guided.
Oh,
our final blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and all those you love this day and always. Amen.